Look at a person next to you and say, get ready. This is going to be fun. I want to challenge you guys this morning to do something. I want to ask you a couple of questions before we get started. I don't want you to be honest, right? You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to chicken wing it. You know what I'm saying? You could just, this can be an inside question if you'd rather this. But except for the first one. The first one's not. How many of you believe in prayer? How many of you believe that it works? How many, now you put your hands down. You don't have to vote on this one unless you just like, okay, I'm going to be really honest and transparent here. How many of you do not pray as often as you should? Be honest. Be honest. Okay. This is the thing. Scripture tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. Like, pray without ceasing. And I love the fact that, and I can't remember who it is, and this quote just came in my head right now. I was just thinking about it, but it said this. It says, I never pray more than 30 minutes at a time, but I never go more than 30 minutes without praying. Right? I'm continually going to God. I'm continually talking to God about everything that happens, everything I'm doing, what's going on. And this is the thing. We don't do that a lot. I'm just going to be honest. We don't do that at all, a lot, and we should. How many of you thinking in your mind, rhetorical, remember, are not, feel like you're not good at praying? Like, I'm not good at it. And I want to encourage you with one thing. See, this is the thing about prayer is, all it is very, very hard to understand. Are y'all ready? I'm being sarcastic. Praying is communicating with God. It's talking with God. How many of you know the first time you met certain people, there were some times that it was kind of awkward getting a conversation started. But after a while of being around them and talking with them, now conversation comes like that, right? Like, I don't have that problem. I could talk to a rock and us be friends in just a minute, right? I mean, it doesn't matter where I go, what I do. I could talk to everybody. But my wife is the opposite end of that. She doesn't talk to many people. Why? Because she's coming out of it. At 18 years, I brought a lot out of her, y'all, all right? Or she just had to do that to contend. I don't know. But I'm just being honest. She is very quiet, and it's hard for her to start conversations with new people. Right? And this is what ends up happening. You'll see her around some people that are new and she's very, very quiet, and you'll think, man, she's being kind of rude because I just saw her over here with Linda, and her and Linda were just going to town talking. Why? Because Linda and April have established a relationship together. And so if it's difficult for you to pray, I want you to do this. One, I want you to do it constantly, right? You say, this is dumb. This is dumb. No, it's not. It's just like talking to the person that's sitting next to you, because the scripture tells us that God is always with us, right? It cracks me up that people do certain things when they're at church, or they do certain things when they're around certain people, or they act a certain way here and they act a certain way there, but then when they're at home or they're with other people, they act totally different, or that when they're alone, they do it because nobody sees, not understanding and realizing that God is always with us, and he always sees, and he's the one that ultimately matters in the grand scheme of it all. He's the one that matters. Prayer is one of those things that it's a conversation. I'm going to tell you, I know why some of you guys don't come to prayer on Tuesday nights. I'm going to tell you. I'm not saying this to get you to come, but you should come. But I know why you don't come. Because if I come, then I'll have to pray. Right? This is the thing. You don't have to pray. You can sit quietly while we pray. That's what it's all about. That's how it's all about. Communication with God. You communicating the way that you do it best. You know what? Sometimes it seems awkward at the beginning. Sometimes it takes a little while. But I'm going to tell you what. Once you start communicating with God, and we're going to be talking about some different areas of communication and some crazy things to pray, because how many of you know we pray safe prayers, right? We pray very safe prayers. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more in a minute. But some of you guys don't come because you remember the old school Bible praying time when you come to church and everybody grabbed hands. And then when the person next to you squeezed, it was your turn. And then you squeeze the person. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but it's like the telephone that has a cord. Young people don't understand. Baby Christians don't understand what that thing is, right? But that's what happened. You would stand there, and they would pray and pray out loud, and then you'd squeeze next, and then they would go around a circle. We don't do that, okay? Just so you know, you don't have to pray if you don't want to. But we put a thing in your hand that has all different kinds of things that you can sit there and go to God about. You say, well, I don't know what to pray. Don't worry. On Tuesday night, I'm going to give you a paper, and you'll have it, and you can pray. You can just go through it. You can listen to what other people are saying. You can pray about that at the same time. Come and be a part of that, because prayer is important. When I said, how many of you say prayer is important? Almost everybody in here raised their hand, except for the ones that weren't voting, right? So you know prayer is important. Do you know how important it is to come together as a group and pray together as well? It's very important. You know why? I'm going to explain. And this isn't even part of it. This is just Lanyap, y'all. Y'all just getting some extra stuff here. Y'all ready? Some of y'all don't even know what, sorry. Y'all don't even know what Lanyap is. Look it up. It'll be fun. This is what it is. Y'all ready? In the scripture, when God did anything amazing with his people. Sorry. Those of y'all who are new, I cry all the time, so just get used to it. Sometimes you can understand, sometimes you can't, but today is pretty good. When God's people came together, it was because of the unity. When the Spirit fell, they were all in the upper room. They were all in one accord. All throughout the scripture, when his people come together, even in the Old Testament at the Tower of Babel, it said they are coming together as one now. They can accomplish anything. How many of you know coming together and praying is important? Because we're all focusing on him. We're all looking to him. And we're all expecting him to do something. You don't walk in that door to come to a prayer meeting and not expect him to do something. I expect him to answer my prayer. Because of that, you know what he does? Because of that, you know what? Rusty's still in the hospital. And you know why Rusty's still in the hospital, I believe? I'm just going to tell y'all. I told Jackie this a minute ago. We started laughing and we were praying. And it was kind of, what are they laughing at? Y'all probably thought. They're like, what are they laughing at up there? It's okay. I'm going to tell you. We were laughing because Rusty's probably still in the hospital with his level not going the way that it should. Because if he goes home, he ain't going to sit down. He ain't going to rest. How many of you know sometimes you don't rest, God will make you rest. Right? I believe that's why he's still there. Because he'd get out and he'd try to come fix one of y'all's floor or one of y'all's plumbing or do some electrical work at somebody's house. Or he'd be trying to lift the couch or do this or do that because that's who he is, right? But how many of you know he had a 20 to 40% chance of not coming off the table when he went in at the very beginning? And do you know what? When we went up there to see him when he was in the ER, in the ICU, and they brought us in just to take a look at him, and they said, I don't understand it. Everything's great. And he's already coming off of his stuff, and we're about to take the tube out. And we didn't expect this, right? Why? Because God answers prayers, right? So let me tell you this. I got to wipe my eyes so I can see y'all because it's blurry. Let me tell you this. Pray and expect God to do amazing things. But this is where our series is going to come in. Y'all, I'm just leading up to it. Y'all ready? This is where it's going to come in because this is what ends up happening. We pray safe prayers. We pray, God bless us, protect us, let us have a good trip, let us have an amazing journey. Don't let anything bad happen to us, right? But look in the scripture, all the people that God used in any kind of way, it wasn't a safe trip. There wasn't not stuff that happened. Right? There was always something happened. Remember, we talked about Paul going to Rome to speak to the Romans, right? We just got done with our Acts Bible study. We started Romans this week in the evening. So if you guys want to come, do Romans 2 and come and hang out with us. But we just started doing that. And this is the thing. Paul said, man, I long to come to you in Romans, man. He said he writes it out. He said, I long to come to you in the book of Romans because it was written like 10 years earlier, right? He's like, I long to come to you. I want to come to you so bad. And I want to, I'm gonna make it to you. Right? He doesn't say, I don't know how, but he says, one day, every time I've tried, it hasn't worked out. One day I'm going to come to you, right? Do you know how Paul got to Rome as a prisoner after being shipwrecked and bitten by a snake and all these things happening to him? But do you know what? Without those things happening, he wouldn't have made it to Rome. By the way, he got an all-expense-paid trip with his own personal bodyguard. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't at all how he expected to get there. He probably wanted to ride a donkey or something, you know? But God's plan was different, and because of it, people's lives were changed. Read the story. So I'm gonna leave you with that, and I wanna talk about prayers, dangerous prayers that we should pray. Because how many of you know, sometimes you're gonna pray a prayer, or you ask for things, and you don't truly know what you're about to get. Right? How many of you ever asked for a kid? Not really understanding what that kid was going to tell when it got here, right? Woo! Or maybe a promotion at work. You wanted a promotion at work, but then when you got that promotion and you saw all the things, the responsibilities that came and how little the pay increase was that you thought was going to be really, really good because you were just going to sit in that office and do nothing. And then you got to that point, you're like, oh, wait, this is a lot different than I had imagined it, right? I don't know that I really want this gift that I just prayed so hard to get, right? Sometimes we do that, but I'm going to tell you some good prayers but that we should pray that are kind of dangerous in some ways, because we're going to end up getting some things that we might not truly expect. Today, what we're going to talk about is having boldness. Ready? We're going to talk about being bold. I don't need that. I can get that later. Where's my paper at? I got to pull my paper. How many of you have your paper? All right. I have one thing that we're going I added a scripture or two in here, so you might need to write them down. And I'm going to tell you the story of what's happening. What time is it? Okay, I've got a little bit. So we're going to talk about asking God to make you bold. How many of you know there's some things that you pray, again, you don't really realize what you're saying. How many of you ever pray for patience? Sounds fun. Sounds good, but the way to get that patience is not the way you want it. How many of you want to see miracles in your life? Do you know that to get the miracle, something bad has to be happening, right? In order for the miracle to be there. So like, God, let me see your miracles in my life. Yeah, you might want to slow down on that one a little bit, right? But there are some, again, like we need to today, make me bold. We're going to talk about, we went through the book of Acts not too long ago. I'm going to try and skim through all this kind of stuff. Or maybe I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm just going to start. And it's going to be fun. Y'all ready? Acts 4, 1 and 1 through 31 is where a lot of this comes from. We're going to do a little bit in Acts chapter 5. But this is what ends up happening. So Peter and John are going to the temple. They pass the gate. The gate called what? Beautiful, right? It's a gate. It's a place at the temple. They go in. Everybody usually, it was like the big one. So everybody usually came by there, right? And there were beggars that would sit there. Why? Because everybody was coming by. And knowing the Jewish culture and the way that it worked is it was very, very good and for you to give to the poor, right? According to scripture, as Christians, what are we two main things we're supposed to do, right? Take care of widows, take care of orphans, right? That's what we're supposed to do. People that are in need. So what would happen is people would come by, and so that everybody would know how holy they were, they would give big amounts of money to the beggars who were sitting in the way in. Why? Because it makes me holy because I'm giving. Good end result, bad reason for doing it, right? So they would bring the beggars, they would sit them there. Again, as we talked about before with Bartholomew blind Bartholomew, he had a coat. They had a thing that said, they're legit, they can beg. They're okay. They definitely have a problem they can sit here. So they would sit there and people would come by and they would give them things. And the guy looked up at Peter and he says, hey, can you give me something? Right? This is a Toby translation, but can you give me something? And he said, what? You guys know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk. Get up and go. Right? So what happens? He just says, He doesn't even say he gave an excuse. He's like, all right, if I can do it, okay, I'm going to try it. So he gets up and he starts walking. I'm pretty sure he starts running and dancing and doing cartwheels because he had been sitting there he was over 40 years old and had been crippled since birth. And this is the one thing that you see about this story, and then I'm going to get into the real part of the story. This is the one thing that you see is that every day people came in and out of the temple. Every day that man had been there for how long? Over 40 years, right? He had been there forever. So it was like, hey, Steve, I don't have anything today. I'll come back next week. You know, that kind of a deal, most probably, because they were always there, okay? And he's coming in, and they see this guy getting up and walking around and doing all these things. And it says that the people were upset because of when he did it and how he did it, right? I mean, you know, sometimes your miracle people are upset because you got it. Don't worry about it. Just keep walking in your miracle. I'm just going to be honest. Keep walking in your miracle. So what happens is this, they took Peter and John and they pulled them aside and they said, hold up, wait a minute, why are you doing these things? And we get into chapter 4 and it says, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees did. So there's a little bit of a thing. They were like, you're preaching something that is not right. And if you remember, well, if you read in the book of Acts, Peter uses that to divide them one time when they're trying to get him. He's like, hey, Jesus raised from the dead. So they start arguing amongst themselves and kind of took their focus off of, off of Paul. Sorry, not Peter, of Paul. But anyway, so he starts preaching this. And it says, and they arrested him and put him into custody until the next day because it was already the evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number came to about 5,000. How many of you would like to speak a word and see 5,000 people come to know Jesus Christ because of your boldness? How? Just imagine that. Just imagine that. Do you know what? It's not impossible for that to happen. Do you know why? Because Scripture says God's no respecter of persons. And if they can preach and people can come to know him, then you can preach to the one person at work that needs him, and it can come to them too. Boldness. Boldness. That's what we need in our lives. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all those who were part of the high priest's family. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, by what power or what name do you do this? And then, this is one of the most important keys to boldness. Are you ready? You want boldness? This is one of the most important keys. You ready? It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again because I highlighted it big and bold because this is the important thing. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands well before you. Now, if you notice, they didn't take credit for nothing. It wasn't them that did the miracle. It was Jesus. It was the power of God by the name of Jesus Christ, by what Christ had done. If you notice, most of the people in the scriptures, when they do anything, it has nothing to do with them when you ask them about them. It's always about God did this, God did this, God did this. Even in bad times, even when Joseph was sold into slavery and went through all those things, what did he say to his brothers? God sent a man here before you. You didn't do this. It was God's doing, and this is how he's going to give you a blessing because of me being here, because of what you have done. So we see in the scripture miracles that come, and it's all because of him. It's all because of him. Now, verse 12, I'm going to skip a little bit. And there was salvation for no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among which men must be saved. It says this, it says, now when they saw their boldness and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. So they were astonished. Why? Because these guys don't have schooling. They're just fishermen and tax collectors and all these different things. Like, why on earth are these guys so knowledgeable about God? And I'm going to explain to you again. It comes down to one main point. The Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit teaches us, he leads us, he guides us, he shows us our issues in our life, disciplines us. The Holy Spirit does a lot of things, but one of the most important things that the scripture says is that it will give us power or boldness to be his witnesses for Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with other people. And this is what it says. They were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. The relationship, it has to be there. But when they commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? So these guys were in a dilemma, right? Because 5,000 people got saved because of what they said. If they allow these guys to keep preaching, then guess who it takes power and authority away from? Them, and puts it on Jesus, who they don't believe is resurrected, because they don't believe in that kind of thing. So they're in a dilemma. What do we do? Because if we start messing with these guys, then all these people are going to be really, really mad. Besides the fact that we got this guy that's been walking around sitting outside for 40 years that's now walking around. So we can't say this is a bad thing, right? So what do we do? So they had no clue as to what to do. What do we do with these men? For the notable sign had been performed through them. Is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone his name. So they called them, charged them not to speak with anyone. When Peter answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must be the judge, for we cannot speak but of what we've heard and seen. Seen and heard. I'm going to skip down a little bit. Y'all ready? Couple of super important things. The reason why the miracles are there, the reason why it's important that we be bold, is because Acts 4:10 talks about the reason why. It says, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing well before you. The boldness that we need in our life isn't so that everybody looks at us and says, look how holy they are. It's so that everybody looks at the actions that come out of our life and it produces glory to our Father in heaven. That's the sole purpose for our boldness and why we should pray for it, why we should want it. It says, they recognized they were with Jesus. They were astonished because they were uneducated. These guys are idiots. How come they know so much about God? How come all these things are happening in their life? How come this stuff is going on around them? And I mean, it doesn't say it. Well, other than the fact that they were upset because they were doing these things. But again, it was taking the focus off of them. If you notice, time and time again, Jesus scolded the religious people, the church people. Why? Because it had not become about God and it had become about them. It had not become about what God wanted to have happen or how God wanted to change people's lives. It had become about them. One of my favorite scriptures is this. Y'all ready? If you read in, let me see. Let me go there. Hold on. Matthew, the 23rd verse. Jesus pretty much lays it out on all of them. And calls them hypocrites. He says, you do this, you do this, you do this. But what things that really matter? One of my favorite ones is this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. It says, you are blind guides, straining out a gnat to swallow a camel. Jesus looked to the religious people and said, it's not about you. It's about my Father. It's not about what you can do or how holy you look or how people perceive your Christianity. It's about people being pointed to the Father. Our boldness isn't for us. It's so that God can be glorified. We see in verse 29, man, it goes on down. And what do they end up doing? They end up praying this. They say, don't come around here. Don't preach. Don't do these things anymore. Don't do any of this or bad things are going to happen to you. They had already arrested them, right, overnight. So they were in jail. They were there. They said, don't do it again. And this is what ends up happening. Acts 4:29. It says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Make me bold. Make my convictions unshakable. Make my life something that people look at and glorify the Father. Make my life something that people don't understand why this is happening or why it can even come out of me. Don't you understand who that guy is? Don't you know what he's done, right? I still get that. 20 years later. 23 years later, this is another squirrel, y'all ready? When somebody walks in that door, don't even think about their past. When somebody comes through that door, Scripture tells us that we are a new creation, a new creature. I say creature. My wife says, no, I say creation. Creature sounds weird. I like it. It were a new creature in Christ, right? Old things are gone, passed away. All things are made new. So don't continue to put that on other people that come and want Christ to change their lives. Don't do it. They prayed, God, make us more bold. These guys are already arrested and in jail for being bold. And what do they want? Give us some more, God. Right? Make me more bold. We worry about how somebody's going to look at us, and we ain't going to share Jesus with them. We don't even want to say, God bless you, when they sneeze. We don't. I'm going to stop. I'm going to hurt somebody's toes in a minute if I keep going like that. I'm going to stop. Unshakable convictions. Spiritual urgency to obey God and His word no matter what the cost. We see that over and over and over and over in Scripture. Do you know what? That's... We don't read about the people who weren't bold because they're not in there. Right? We don't have stories about people who didn't stand up, who didn't face adversity, who didn't do these things. We don't read about them. Why? Because they're not in there. They're not in there. Why? Because they didn't stand up. They didn't do what they should do. Think in your mind, man, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bold do people perceive you to be when it comes to Jesus Christ? Because it doesn't matter how bold you perceive yourself if others don't see it. Amen? He said, well, listen, man, I'm just not that bold. I'm not naturally that kind of a person. I'm more of a shy, reserved kind of person, and boldness isn't a part of what I do. In the biblical sense, boldness is not a personality trait. It's not. Because you see over and over and over, normally timid, introverted people, people who are hesitant to do anything, being bold in God. The one scripture, and we're going to talk about this in the future, the one scripture that we misquote so much, one of the many, Aaron and I was talking about this the other day, one of the main things that we misquote so much is God will not give you more than you can handle. That is a lie. That is a lie. Because if you can handle it, God gets no glory from it. We're coming up on a series, y'all, later in the year. It's going to be God didn't say that. Get ready, it's coming. So, boldness is not a personality. You see a stutterer. You see a kid that's hiding in a wine press. You see a kid that's left out in the field because he ain't even good enough to come in when one of his brothers is going to be anointed king, and he's the one that God is picking and choosing. See, this is the thing. God uses people who aren't naturally bold. So you say, well, I'm not naturally bold. You're perfect. You have one of the number one qualifications of almost everybody in that scripture that God used. Because this is what you see generally. Timid, introverted, hesitant people are outspoken, confident, and don't shrink back from anything. Even death. And this is what they pray again. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders who are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place which they were in together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Again, the number one important ingredient for boldness in your life is what? Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. If you want the Holy Spirit in your life, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. Just continually ask. Because you know what? God doesn't shirk away from his kids. If you ask him for something, the scripture says he'll give it to you. Unless it's a pony. You might not get the pony. Remember how I told you about going back before? If it's something that's going to hurt you, something you ain't ready for, he's not going to put it on you right now. Right? Unless it's a task that he wants you to do and he wants to prove to you that you can do it, all things through Christ who strengthens you. Boldness. We need it. They prayed. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered them. Again, understand the Holy Spirit convicts. He comforts. He guides. There are gifts that come from him. He draws us. And most importantly, he empowers us to use all of the things that he's just given us. Make me bold, man. God, make me bold. Allow me to experience your power. Allow me to experience your Holy Spirit. You know, there's different ways to be bold, and it looks different for all of us. A bold statement today for ladies is to dress modestly. That's a bold statement. A bold statement is to uphold what the scripture says about marriage and about relationships before marriage and what the scripture tells us we should and shouldn't do. That's a bold statement today. Do you know why divorce is down? Because people don't just get married. They just shack up for a little bit, see if it's okay, and then they split up. Well, we don't got to divide nothing. You know, it's just see if it works out. That's not the design and the plan that God has. It's not. Now, if you're in that boat, I'm not condemning you or telling you nothing. I'm just saying read the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit tell you what you need to do. You know, being bold is reading your Bible. Maybe it's putting down the kind of music you listen to and putting just godly music on. You say, well, do you listen to secular music? Yep, and I watch football too. So there's that, right? I do sometimes. But there's a time that I set aside and me and God get together. You know what I love more than anything? My kids having Spotify on their phone and hooking it to our thing and them being able to pick the music and the music that they pick. It's about God. It lifts up God. This morning, they were singing a song, Zeal, that we put on for the kids. You never heard that song? Go listen to it. It's a good one, right? They're going to sing it over there, and they got hand motions. And so my kids put it on last night, and they're like, Dad, check out these motions. This is what you do. This is how you worship God, right? Would that we would do that in our service here, right? Would that we would get excited. Right now, they're doing a sermon series on worship. It's a three-week thing, man. They're over there learning about the presence. This is what's cool. The song we sang, Your Presence, Lord. You know what they're learning about today? The presence of God in your life and why it's important. That's what their message is today. Maybe it's not watching certain stuff on TV. Maybe it's praying for a coworker when they need it. Maybe that's boldness. Maybe it's confessing your sin with somebody you can trust, saying, these are my shortcomings. I need help. Help me. Help keep me accountable because I've got issues. If I carry them by myself, it's going to bury me. We need to understand that we're not alone in this. He's given us a family, a support system. Now, in saying that, be careful who you tell. Y'all want a joke to lighten the mood? I'm going to give you a joke. There were three guys, and they were out fishing. Some of y'all heard this before, maybe, but they were out fishing in the boat, right? And nothing was biting. They were just sitting there doing a whole lot of nothing. And one of them said, you know what, man? We've been talking out my church about confessing our sins one to another. And I think since nothing's happening with the fish, maybe if we did that, it would make us feel better and give us a better day. And he said, I'll go first, man. He said, I've got a problem with gambling. Like, my wife doesn't even know it. We're $40,000 in debt because I've been taking out credit cards and doing different things and gambling, and I'm losing everything, and I really need somebody to help me and to pray with me and support me. And he said, oh, man, okay. He said, well, since you were honest, man, I've got a problem with alcohol and drinking and doing what the scripture says about not being drunk. And he says, I my wife knows about it. It's causing strain on our marriage, and we've got different issues and stuff like that. Nobody else knows about it. Would you pray for me and help me? He's like, yeah. They're like, yeah. And they looked at him. He said, what do you want to confess? He's like, man, I'm going to let y'all know I love the gossip. I can't wait to get out this boat, right? I can't wait to get out this boat, right? Don't do that. Don't be that guy, right? But anyway, we all have issues. We all have things. We need to find somebody in our life that we can talk to about our issues, that will walk through us about our issues. Now, let me tell you something, man. Somebody comes to you with their issues, don't kick them. Say, you know what? I may have never been in that boat, but I see it's important to you, and I'm going to support you, and I'm going to pray for you. Then take their hand and pray for them, and then pray for them. And then every time, as Aaron was saying, or Nick was, somebody was saying, every time, Nick was saying, I think, every time they come into your mind, God puts that in your mind, shoot them a text, give them a call, say, man, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. How's it going with that thing we talked about? Right? You can walk up in a group of people like, hey, man, how's that? We talked about that thing. How's it doing? And they say, oh, it's doing okay, or it's not doing so great. We're like, okay, we'll keep it in prayer, right? You could do it in a whole group of people and don't nobody know what you're talking about. There's ways to do it. But the thing is that the lie of the enemy comes in our head and says, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody can even fathom what I'm in because I'm the only one that deals with this, not knowing that there's probably 6 or 8 people in this room that have that same issue and are sitting there thinking, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. There's different ways to be bold. Peter and John preached, miracles happened, people were saved. The high priest and the religious leaders were furious. And because of it, Rome had to step in and do some different things. Acts chapter 5, we read this. I'm going to read this and I'm going to give you 3 points. What time is it? Do I need to quit? I got to hurry. All right, Acts 5, 18 through 20. And they arrested the apostle and put them into public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So they prayed for boldness. They stepped out in boldness. They got put into prison. Two times in a week, right? Like, we just got out of here, man. You guys putting us back already? But let me tell you something about what boldness does. 3 attributes of boldness. Y'all ready? Send your notes at the bottom. The first one is boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. Boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. They arrested the apostles and they put them in the prison. They prayed dangerous prayers. They said, make me bold. And what happened? Opposition came, trying to stop them from doing what they were called to do. You say, well, people are the ones that put them in prison here. You know what? There's people that do all these things to you that are spiritual opposition. They laugh at you. They criticize you. They talk bad about you. They make fun of you. I remember seeing this thing. It was on Facebook. How many of you like Facebook? Sometimes I do. It popped up, and there was this little kid sitting here praying, and the whole table behind him in school was laughing, right? But to him, he didn't care. Why? Because he was having time with God, and it was important. And if you don't want to come with me, that's fine. That's fine. Don't come with me. But this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Jesus told us this was going to happen to us. Y'all ready? John 15, 18 through 20. I added this one in. It's not in your notes, so write it down. John 15, 18 through 20. It says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world would love you at his own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Living, okay, I'm going to say something. Y'all ready? This is going to be really good too if it comes out like it's in my head. People say that when you come to Christ, all your issues disappear. And that's a lie, another lie. That's another thing that doesn't happen. When you come to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, it's going to get tough. It's going to get difficult. And you're going to feel like you're all alone. And that's why it's so important that you find other people that are like-minded, that are going the same direction as you, so that you know that you're not alone. But opposition will come. Anytime going upstream is a difficult thing. Have y'all ever been like kayaking or canoeing or something, or swimming even? You swim downstream, man, it's super fast. You're there in no time. But then you got to come back up, and it ain't near as fun, right? It's difficult. Well, you know what? When we give our life to Christ, we're turning around and coming upstream. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But Scripture tells us, cheer up, I've overcome the world. I'm with you. You say, and I've heard, somebody actually said this to me. I said, man, God, Jesus said, you've overcome the world. Cheer up. You're going to face battles. You're going to face problems, but I've overcome the world. It's like, that's great, but I'm the one in this issue. It's like, but if you're in Christ, then he's there with you. And it's him fighting your battles, not you, if you let him. It's not all rainbows and Skittles, being a Christian. It's difficult times. Look in the scripture. Look in the scripture. You know what? You live for Jesus. You might not be hanging out with everybody on Friday and Saturday night anymore. You might be sitting at home. You know what? Some of my favorite times right now, sitting at home with my kids, watching TV. I thought I knew what fun was until I came to Christ. I'm just going to be honest. I thought I knew what it was. And it may have seemed fun, and it was for maybe a little bit. Y'all, don't be mad at this statement, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Those of you who don't know, I was kicked out of the military in 1996 for cocaine. I had a cocaine habit, right? Cocaine was amazing at first. I'm just going to be honest. Sin is fun for a season. Scripture tells us that. But do you know what? It destroyed me shortly thereafter. And that's what sin does. It might not be popular. You know, you have a bold witness at school about Jesus Christ for the younger ones in here. You have a bold witness for him at school, then you're probably not going to be in a popular crowd. I'm just going to be honest. It may be difficult. You know what? That's why I didn't. I'm just going to be real. When I was a teenager, that's why I didn't. It was so much easier to just do what everybody else was doing. So much easier. But if I could go back and do it over again, knowing what I know now, it'd be a totally different ball game. I promise you. But see, that's how life is. And that's how we learn the lessons that we learn, is because of what we've done in the past, and it either worked well or it didn't work well. And that's how we can give wisdom to people. Remember, we talked about knowledge and wisdom and words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We talked about a couple weeks ago. Wisdom is something totally different. Wisdom you get from a lot of messing up. Like, man, you do that great. Like, you should have seen it when it started. Woo, it was rough, right? It was rough. Maybe you stand up at work for your faith and you get passed over for promotions because you're always talking about Jesus and they don't want you to do that. Maybe this is going to happen or that's going to happen. But how many of you know God is good to his people? And there's a reward that comes from doing what he's asked us to do. See, blessings isn't always money. Most of the time it's not money. It's other things. But that's what we see when we see blessings. We need to be ready to face the opposition for our obedience to God. And if you're not ready, listen to this. Y'all ready? This is a good quote. Y'all ready? If you're not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. If you're not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. Number two, I got to hurry. Boldness often releases God's miracles. So their boldness, they stand up, they get put into prison, and then what ends up happening? Verse 19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go. This is the funny thing, is Luke didn't make a big deal about being surprised that there was an angel there, right? And it's like, they fell down and they were afraid and they were scared. No, it's just that an angel showed up, opened up the door and said, y'all go on out there, right? They're like, oh, okay. Like it was a normal occurrence. Why? Because they expected God to do miracles everywhere that they went. They expected to see God do mighty and miraculous things everywhere. So this to them was nothing. When you walk in obedience to God, man, you won't be surprised by the miracles of God. When you start walking in them and you start walking by the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to lead you and guide you, you will not be surprised because God does it all the time. Right? You ever done something and someone's like, wow, how'd you do that? It's like, I don't know, I do it all the time. Right? Since I was a kid, right? Those things. Why? Because it's commonplace. It's natural for those things to happen. When you start walking by the Spirit, when you start walking in boldness. And the last thing, y'all ready? Boldness always requires faith. It always requires stepping out and doing something that you're uncomfortable with. It always requires doing something that you don't even want to do. Acts 5, 20 and 21 says, go and stand in the temple and speak to all the people, or to the people, all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. So they get arrested twice. They get told, we're going to beat you. We might even kill you. We might do all these different things if you go do these things. And what do they say? Man, I'm on it. Let's do it. Let's go. Like, it wasn't like death by Jesus, right? It wasn't like, I want to go be with him, so I'm going to go do whatever it takes to get me there quicker. It wasn't that. It was that I'm going to do whatever he says because he's going to protect me and I'm going to be okay through it, or he's going to take me and I'm going to get to be with him. Amen. Two options, right? Two options. Amen. That's what I love about obedience to God. It happens. You see Abraham when he's taking his son Isaac up, right? Sacrifice him on a mountain. It's his son, his only son. He's walking him up there. God made a promise through this son. There's going to be generations more than the sand. So he had to know one or two things. Either God's going to provide or he's going to bring him back, because everything God promised me is supposed to come through him. And if I'm obedient and if he's telling me to do this, there's a reason for it. Amen. There's a reason for it. If God's telling you to do something and giving you something, there's a reason for it. Be obedient. It may not be for you. It may be for the person that's standing over in the corner you don't even know that's watching. Be obedient. Be obedient. Step out in boldness. Again, they didn't have any college. They didn't know anything. Didn't probably have Bible college back then there, but they did have other stuff. They didn't have any teaching. They didn't study under Gamaliel as Paul did or Saul did. They didn't do all these things, but yet God used them to do some amazing things. Why? Because they were obedient. Because he said, do it, and they said, okay. They didn't say, well, you know, God, I really want to walk in your plan as long as it lets me have a happily ever after where I get to settle down, have a couple of kids, maybe live a not so risky life so that everybody loves me, and I'll do that for you, God. I'll suffer through that for you. See, that's not how it works. Now, does God give us those things? Man, listen, I'm so happy with my wife and kids, bro. You don't know. You don't know how happy I am with them, right? Would I have them if I hadn't followed God's plan for my life? No. I'd probably be dead. Just being honest. I know everybody says that, but I believe it true in my life. I wouldn't say it. We have a plan. We have an idea. We have a thought process. And most of the time it doesn't revolve around being bold. It revolves around being safe. But that's not what God has called us to do. Boldness to believe God that answers our prayers. Boldness enough to love someone enough to invite them to church even though we don't know them. Boldness to share our faith. Boldness to not stay in our comfort zone, but to do things that stretch us and pull us out. And not because we want to be known as holy, but because we want people to see how good God is. What he wants to do in our life. And this is the thing. And I've said it before. We have no idea what God might set in motion by our one little action. The one small action that I do today could change thousands of lives tomorrow. Maybe not because I see it, but y'all remember the story about how it came down to Billy Graham. This guy spoke to a guy at the shoe store. Dwight, who ended up being D.L. Moody, who ended up coming all the way down with Billy Sunday and going all the way down and then to a tent revival where they preach. And one little kid comes, one 14-year-old boy comes and gives his life to Christ named William Franklin Graham. And that was a trickle that came because this guy was very bold and shared his faith with somebody at a shoe store that worked with him, at his work. No matter how small it may seem, if God puts it on your heart, do it. Do it. Do it. And understand this. You might not see the fruit that comes from it, but the scripture says God's word doesn't return void. We need to share his love, grace, and mercy. Bow your heads and close your eyes. We need to pray dangerous prayers. Today, all these things that we talk about on Sunday, that I talk about, the gifts that come, the Holy Spirit that's there, It's only made available through Jesus Christ, through a relationship with him. Not a set of rules or regulations, not you have to do this or you have to do that. Not you have to be good enough. Now, do we strive to be who he created us to be?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If we don't, it's not a relationship. You know what? I strive to be as good as I can for my wife and my kids every day. I mess up a lot, but they forgive me a lot. Scripture says God forgives us too. Yes. But I don't take that forgiveness for granted. I get up the next day and I do everything I can to do it right for them. Same as I do for him. You be honest in here today, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking. Say, I've never given my life to Christ. I've never accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I may have went down and said, I want to get out of hell free card. But I've never given him my life. And that's what it takes. Relationship. Relationship. This morning, you want to have that relationship. You be honest. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. You put your hand up and say, I need a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. Just put your hand up and put it back down. I need. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. I need that relationship. Thank you. I want to do this. I want us to all say a prayer in here. The scripture says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we shall be saved. In Romans it says that to us. So what we're going to do right now, it's not this prayer, it's not these words, it's not a magic set of stuff that we say. It's the belief in our heart and us speaking from our mouth. So I want you all to repeat this prayer after me. Everybody in here to help those who are praying it this morning. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your son to die for me, to take away my sins, to give me access to you so that I could be a part of your family, so that I could be who you created me to be. I give you my life now. Help me be that person. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now your heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, and you be honest and say, man, when I look at my prayer life, when I look at what we talked about today, I pray the safe prayers. God, protect me. God, keep me from harm. Keep my family. Bless me. And those are all good prayers. Don't get me wrong. Pray those things. But today, you're ready to say, God, I want to be bold for you. I understand that by praying this prayer, I'm going to have some issues come up. I'm going to have some ways to be bold. I'm going to have some controversy that comes in my life. But I understand you're going to be there and you're going to help me get through it. And I want to point people to you more than I do right now.
Amen.
I want a boldness. I want your Holy Spirit to come into my life. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be able to have the boldness and the power. I want to know what's right and wrong. I want you to help me see those things and give me the self-control to get through them. I need more boldness. Now, before you raise your hand, understand all those things I just said. You're going to have more issues. You're going to have things that are going to come up. You're going to have opposition that's going to come in your life, but you will be able to overcome it with Christ. Because of him. Because of the power that his Holy Spirit gives to you. You be honest, head bowed, eyes closed. I want that power. I want that boldness. I want his Holy Spirit in my life. Just put your hand up. Just leave it up. Just put your hand up. Anybody else? I'm about to pray. If you want that, put your hand up. You say, well, I can still say it with my hand down. Yeah, but it's about obedience, right? Blessing comes from obedience. Not just to me. It's to God. I want you to put your hand up and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want your boldness in my life. Give me your Holy Spirit. Allow it to work in my life. Allow me to see it. Help me to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, now, y'all get ready. Expect God to do something amazing in your life this week. Expect God to use you in ways that you never dreamed imaginable, and expect people to come to him because of your obedience. Tuesday night, we have prayer. We got a lot of stuff happening, man. Get a paper. There's only two slots left out there for Dr. Steve's next Sunday. So if you want to sign up, please do it. Because once that's full, that's all we got. It's 10 slots. Don't forget our camping trip. Don't forget to sign up for our progressive dinner. That's this weekend coming up. And we will get you. This is what I need you to do. I need you to put your phone number out beside it, or how you want me to contact you, and I'm going to call each and every one of you, and I'm going to get you the directions on how to get there, all right, to the first stop. And then from there, we'll have them to go to the rest of the stops. How many of you, if you get too much information at once, you get overloaded? Be honest. Me too. So it happens. Listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out of here. We're going to share God's love, grace, and mercy. We're going to come back this week. We're going to invite some people to the barbecue. We're going to invite some people to the barbecue. How many of you are going to take some of those and pass them out? Yeah. We also have some little purple cards that are out there, and I'll get some more out there if there's not enough. And that's an invite card to church. On the back of it, it has our service times. Take those and give them to people. Leave them out on your table for your waitress, but only if you acted right, right? Don't be rude and be like, hey, come to my church. Everybody's just like me, and we're rude, okay? No, that's not how we do it. We love people. We love people. We're going to stand up. I'm going to pray. No, I'm going to come back up and pray after we get done singing. Stand up. Let's sing.